Our first presenter is Adetonan Ogunbajo from Johns Hopkins University, and he will be talking to us about, do the first few same-sex sexual experiences of young black MSM impact STD HIV testing behavior?
Good morning. Today I'll be speaking about the impact of first same-sex experiences on STD HIV testing behavior in a sample of young, black, gay, and bisexual men. I will be presenting work completed with Dr. Renata Arrington-Sanders. Black men who have sex with men are disproportionately affected by HIV/AIDS and other STDs compared to other groups. In a national sample of MSM, young black MSM in the HBTN-061 trial acquired HIV at a rate that was 3 times higher than white MSM. Previous research has suggested a relationship between the age of sexual debut in adolescence and STD HIV testing behavior. There is limited information about how young black MSM operationalize STD HIV risk during their first same-sex experiences and whether such experiences reveal factors that promote testing behavior. The purpose of this study was to explore how sexually active black, gay, and bisexual men between the ages of 15 through 19 describe STD and HIV testing behavior around the time of their first few same-sex experiences. In this study, participants were recruited through school-based STD and adolescent clinics, outreach at local events and LGBT events, internet sites, and through snowball sampling. Participants completed an audio-recorded computer-assisted survey and an in-depth face-to-face qualitative interview that lasted about 90 minutes. The interviews were independently coded on in vivo software by 2 different staff members. The transcripts were coded until a kappa of over 0.8 was reached. Open coding was utilized to connect the themes that arose across the interviews. We used a phenomenologic approach to analyze the data so that participants were able to use their own words to describe phenomena. The mean age of participants was about 17.7 years old. Most of our sample identified as African American and gay, and we had about 4 youth who identified as transgender. The mean age of first sex was 14 years old. On average, participants described 13 live sexual partners, lifetime sexual partners, and about 3.5 partners in the last 6 months. 16% of participants described a history of STDs, and about 10% self-reported an HIV diagnosis. Most participants, about 85%, reported a history of HIV testing. Half, about 51% of all participants, reported getting tested every 3 to 6 months. And about 27% reported getting tested only when they thought they were being exposed, they had been exposed to an infection. 2 typologies of engaged testing emerged from the qualitative data. There were youth who engaged in proactive testing, which was testing prior to sexual encounter, and there were youth who engaged in reactive testing, which was testing post-sexual encounter. There were various individual, partner, and network level factors that mediated proactive testing in the cohort. Engaged youth described testing because of concern for personal health and not wanting to acquire an STI or HIV. This was closely tied to general concerns for general health. This participant describes health-seeking testing behavior. I always get tested every 3 months, regardless if I use condoms or not. Condoms are not 100%, and you can still catch stuff with condoms. So yeah, I get tested every 3 months. I don't play that. Youth commonly describe testing prior to a new sexual partnership or as part of a sexual relationship, and it often determined how much trust there was for a partner. This is a representative quote of using testing together at the beginning of a relationship to assess whether or not the partner could be trusted. If I feel like we can be tested together, then I feel like you can be trusted. If there's a struggle to get you tested, then something's wrong with you. Other participants describe repeat testing throughout the relationship and how it determined if the partner could be trusted. It also served as a measure of trust. You know, when you know it's people, it's like you can trust them to a degree. It's like, I know the last time we checked, you didn't have it, but I'm going to check again just to make sure. You described larger community factors that promoted testing. These factors included advice from female family figures, mostly mothers, and sexual education information from school-based programs that had recommended testing. Having a family member with HIV/AIDS also prompted you to get tested for HIV. This is a representative quote of mothers having a strong influence on testing. At 13, when I came out, my mom sat down and made sure I knew that if I was having sex, I was at risk of being in danger of STDs. She told me to always get tested. This is a representative quote of how sex education programs in school encourage testing. I had a sex ed class in middle school, and they told me about how to have conversation with a partner about testing and how you're supposed to bring that up. Similar to proactive engagement, there were individual, partner, and network level factors that mediated reactive engagement in these youth. In place of condom use, participants described using frequent testing as strategy to prevent STD and HIV infection. Also, participants sought out testing after seeing symptoms that were associated with either having HIV or an STD. Youth commonly describe using frequent testing as a preventative strategy. In place of using condoms, they will be tested frequently to make sure that they were still negative. I don't use condoms, and when I get tested and they tell me it's negative, it'd be really shocking. I'd be happy that it's negative because I don't want HIV. Participants described having a partner outside the relationship contributed to testing. This was closely tied to having symptoms associated with STD or HIV. The guy, he had some burning sensation down there, and I'm just like, okay, maybe it was because he was talking to someone else. So I completely stopped everything I was doing, and I like ran out of the classroom and went to the clinic to find out what I had. Participants also described testing as a result of community rumors that partner status was positive or different from what they had been told or perceived. This quote demonstrates how rumors about partners impacted testing. It's been brought up that my boyfriend has HIV, but I don't see the signs. He told me he don't got it. I try to get him to get tested, but he just be leaving the subject alone. I just had unprotected sex with him. It was so scary, and I went and got tested. About 15% of participants reported never having tested for HIV or STDs. Some described intentional avoidance behavior surrounding testing. Various factors contributed to disengagement around testing, including limited transmission knowledge, nervousness around knowing status, and skepticism of certain types of tests, such as rapid HIV tests. Unlike participants who had received sex ed in school, many disengaged youth described not hearing that STIs were transmitted between males. Male-on-male sex, or it being transferred like that, wasn't talked about, just because it wasn't supposed to be going on. I didn't know it was transmitted, so I didn't get tested. Many participants talked about being scared to find out whether or not they had an STD or HIV. Myths and non-truths about the effects and outcomes of HIV exacerbated unwillingness to seek out testing. I did not want to get tested. I was scared for my life because they was telling me once you catch it, AIDS or HIV, people just drop and they be dying. They don't live long or they die early. They get real sick and it will start showing up throughout your body and stuff. In conclusion, we found that individual, partner, and community level factors impacted engagement in STD and HIV testing in young black, gay, and bisexual men. Disengaged youth commonly described lack of knowledge and inability to cope with a positive diagnosis. This work suggests that a multi-level toolkit is needed to assist engaged youth and that there may be potential areas of focus that needs to improve engagement and promotion of testing in disengaged and reactive youth who are navigating their first same-sex experiences. I would like to acknowledge all the young people who shared their stories with us, the co-authors and mentoring teams, and especially the funders listed here. And thank you very much for your time, and now I'll take questions. Yes. Is there a microphone?
There's a microphone in the middle. I think it's on. Are there any questions for Etta Dotson?
Hi, my name's Liz, and I work at the Broadway Youth Center with Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago. And when you were talking about families, did you look at all about given families versus chosen families? I know that's a really big part of the community and population that I work with.
Well, we asked very generally about families, so we didn't really stratify as far as like different kinds of families. So we just asked generally, had you been told by a family member to get tested? And we also found that having a family member who was positive or who had an STD history also made you more likely to seek out testing behaviors just from having that personal relationship.
Thanks for the talk. My name is Ginny Bowen. I'm an EIS officer in the CDC Division of STD Prevention. I think throughout listening to the kind of qualitative quotes, a lot of the thoughts resonated and sounded, I don't want to say common sense, but a lot of them ran true to what I understood. The one that stood out to me that I didn't understand at all was the skepticism about rapid tests. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little on that.
Yeah, so that was actually one participant. He talked about, I don't have the exact quote here, but he talked about not really believing the results of a rapid test. So he said, I would rather get a blood test to really confirm my status as opposed to a rapid test. And that wasn't generalizable throughout the cohort, so which is why we didn't include the quote. But that was just from one participant, which we also found interesting.
Hi, thank you for your talk. My name is Ty Bryant. When you were talking about network factors, you were talking about the strong maternal influence. In your research, was there any indication of paternal influence, or was that?
That's an interesting question. We found over and over and over again that there was a lot of maternal influence with this youth. Not even as just with HIV testing, there was a lot of support from female members of the family and also female mentor figures. So it was someone helping you with your coming out process or someone helping you when you fell on financial hardship. So it was a lot of, we didn't really ask specifically male or female, but over and over and over again, there was this theme of female individuals helping out with these youth. And as we know, the youth are between the ages of 15 through 19, which is a very, very precarious age. So these female figures were really helpful in that coming out process. Any other questions? Thank you.